Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Today, we're going to be talking about a fascinating subject, specifically a holistic approach to healing. Whatever may be bothering you, there are ways to help you that you may not be aware of. Let me just point out a couple of facts. You know, when you experience terrible trauma, it can have a truly adverse effect on your physical, emotional, mental, and physical well-being. The healing may seem impossible to you. You would experience a wide range of emotions from anger and shame and depression and guilt. But instead of seeking effective treatment options, many people tend to bottle their feelings up. They're desperate to numb their pain, and they may turn to unhealthy tendencies like smoking, taking excessive painkillers, drinking, and overeating, all of which just make you feel worse than ever. Did you know, though, that these negative emotions can become logged in your body and be the underlying cause of many devastating diseases that block you from living your best lives? So the question is, how can you cope with all of those wounds and get back to loving your lives again? We're going to talk about that today with someone who's been there, been through it, and knows the answer, at least one of the answers, who can help correct your situation. Her name is Deborah Brewer. She is a top-notch, highly sought-after emotion code, body code, and belief code practitioner. She's a wellness coach, and she's the founder of her practice called Empowerment of Healing. She's an amazing lady, and really, it's a treat to have her with us today because I think you can learn from her. I know you can learn from her. I'm going to learn from her. Anyway, she points out that ever since she was a child, she had felt high levels of compassion for people and animals and a strong sense of duty to help others. And from a very young age, she was very aware and sensitive of the energy around us. And she also realized how she was blessed with the ability to communicate telepathically with animals and with nature. And I think that's amazing. Her journey, which really is quite a story, began 30 years ago when she was in a state of depression. She was on prescription drugs and self-medication. And she had been through abusive relationships. She became a single mother of three children, one of which had learning disabilities. And she is also, by the way, the survivor of a kidnapping and an assault by a stranger, which resulted in a week-long trial where she had to watch him walk away free, which absolutely devastated her. That's part of her story. Obviously, she has had problems, emotional problems throughout her lives. So we're going to talk to her now. She can tell us more about this story, what happened to bring her to where she is today, where she is at a point of helping other people who have similar problems and are looking for ways to get healthy. And we're going to find out how she learned about all things like the emotion code, the body code, and a belief code, which I've never heard of before. So let's bring her on. Her name again is Deborah Brewer. She's in Phoenix, Arizona. Deborah, nice to have you with us. I assume it's a beautiful day in Phoenix. Always a beautiful day in Phoenix, isn't it?
It's always a beautiful day in Phoenix, even when it rains. Thank you for having me, Doug.
Well, look, it's a treat to have you. Your story is really, that's some tragic things you went through in your life, in your early life. As you pointed out, it happened in your early 30s. There were some really traumatic issues. What was the result? What did all of that do to you? You know, being the survivor of a kidnapping, I'll be honest with you, I don't think I've ever talked to someone who was a survivor of a kidnapping. That had to have been terribly traumatic to you. How old were you at the time?
I was 34. 34. And it was not fun. It was terrifying, especially when a stranger, somebody you don't even know, comes up and just takes over your life. And I thought he would kill me. I don't know why he didn't. I think prayer helped with that. I got right on board with God and said, help me, please. And I ended up being pregnant after that. So for 9 months, I didn't know whose baby I had, whether it was the rapist or my husband's. And it didn't matter to me whose it was. I was keeping him no matter what. But it was a very trying time. And after all of that, I mean, there's a long story behind it, but this is the short version.
Yeah.
My husband and I ended up splitting up probably 5 years after that. And I became very depressed. I was on antidepressants. I started drinking at night to fall asleep. I had no help. I had 3 kids, as you had mentioned earlier, and one with severe learning disabilities. And he had actually been vaccine injured as a very young child. And I called my mother and just said, I need to get out of the house and clear my head. And I went to Bed Bath & Beyond because shopping was my go-to. And as I was standing in front of all the potato peelers and those little cups and feeling sorry for myself, a person came up next to me and said, is it really that bad? And I looked at the person who I cannot recall a face at this time. I just remember the pants and like a hooded sweatshirt. And this all happened in the matter of seconds. And I looked back at the potato peelers and I thought, is it really this bad? I'm healthy. I have a home. I have food on the table. I'm able-bodied. And I turned back to say, you know what, it's really not. And they were gone. I couldn't find them anywhere in the store, in the parking lot. And at that point, I knew I had been visited by an angel. So
wow.
I went home and I threw all the pills away and I quit drinking. And that's where the journey began. And I knew that I had to heal myself and to set an example for my children, you can power through anything in your life. And I'm not going to say it was easy because you take baby steps when you go into things, but I can tell you today, I don't live as a victim anymore. I don't live as have a pity party, feel sorry for me. Oh my God. Yeah, these horrible things happened. And through these things happening, I came out as a butterfly, and that's why a butterfly is my logo. It's transformation. So I transform my life, and, you know, it's like an etch-a-sketch. You have all of these things that are drawn out on there, and this happened to me, and that happened to me, and all, blah, blah. And through energy healing work and the emotion code and the body code and now the belief code and intensive meditation, I shook that etch-a-sketch, and I got to draw a brand new life for myself.
Well, you know, I know there's so much
today.
There's so much to your story, and I don't want to dwell too much on things that you went through in the past, but let me just ask you briefly. I'm sure people are wondering who are hearing this. When you were kidnapped, you were married and had children at home. Is that correct?
Well, I was engaged. So
you were engaged.
My fiance was in prison. And he was being released. So I was actually on my way to get him out of prison in northern Arizona. He had repetitive DUI. He was an amazing husband, I want to say, when he was sober.
Yeah.
But when he started drinking, so I was on my way to pick him up. And I got a call from the attorney saying he was going to be detained for another day. So to turn around and go home. So I stopped in Rye, Arizona, in a little, bar and grill. And I thought, well, I'm going to use the bathroom, grab a bite to eat. And I thought, well, while I'm here, I'm just going to have a drink. And then one drink turned into two. And I called a friend of mine to come and pick me up because I've been drinking. I didn't want to drive. And So I actually had a rental car, and I went into the back seat of my rental car and laid down to sleep until my friend got there to come and get me. When I woke up, my car was driving, and I thought it was my friend, but the voice from the front seat said, "Your friends aren't coming." And, you know, I didn't lock my doors. I felt safe in a small town. Who's going to hurt me? And he drove in this little town was very dark, so I have no idea where he drove me to. And all I could do was start praying. I did when he got out of the front seat and went to come into the back seat. I tried to jump over into the front seat because the keys were in the ignition. And he grabbed me by the back and said, "Boy, are you stupid." And that's when I knew that if I didn't submit, that I probably would have been dead. And so
sound like an episode of one of the, you know, TV series, like SUV or something like that. And I'm sure it probably developed into a situation like that. Anyway, he held you for how many days? Were you kidnapped, so to speak?
No, it was just for a matter of hours. You know, what he wanted to do, and he drove me back, and I could hear his footsteps crunching in the gravel of this bar and grill. And when I sat up, I saw my friends and I called them over and they're like, "Where have you been?" I told them what happened. They said, "You know, we know you well enough. You don't call and then you're not there." So of course we had the police come. They took me to the hospital. They arrested him. And then it was a pack of lies a year later in the trial. And the trial was held in a small town. So the jury came from people who knew people who knew people. My original attorney, he said, "We've got this in the bag." My main focus was so that he could not do this to hurt anybody else, any other women.
Exactly.
I found out later he had several times. And, you know, I think part of the system is broken. You know, it's who has the best attorney. And the attorney I had was taken off my case, and I was given a brand new attorney who had owned, I was her first case instead of a seasoned attorney. And the officer, the deputy who was there with me when that happened, he died of cancer before the trial happened. So all my key people all of a sudden disappeared. And a couple of years later, my husband was in rehab, and I saw a young woman there, and I said, "You know, I know her, and I don't know why." So when he called her over, he said, "My wife knows you." And she said, "I'm from Rye, Arizona." I said, "Oh, my God, you were at my trial, and you testified on my behalf." And her mother was half owner of the bar and grill at the time that this event occurred. So, you know, I don't believe in accidents in life, even though, and she said, this is not the first time he's done that, the first time somebody came forward. So I did what I could to, and, you know, that's what happened.
Let's cut this part short. Anyway, he got off, is that right? He walked away free from the court case. Well, listen, I can certainly understand why you had problems and a lot of trauma in those days. And then, of course, you separated from your husband. Bottom line, let's get to this issue of how holistic healing has helped you, become well again. Not only that, but you learned how to actually teach and treat people with holistic healing approaches. What was it that got you into this? I did read somewhere you thought you needed hip and knee replacements, but you had an MRI, and that really made a big difference in what you learned from that. Is that correct? Tell me about it.
Yes. The MRI on my hip showed bone on bone and arthritis. So I couldn't walk. I could only lift my left leg about 2 inches off the ground. Sitting
wow.
for any amount of time, more than a couple minutes, was painful. They offered me painkillers. They said, you're too far gone for injections. And they wanted to schedule my surgery. And I said, you know what? I'm going to try something else. So I dived deep into the emotion code and the body code and meditation. Because I know in the Bible it says that, you know, God's given you the innate ability to heal yourself, right? And so I thought, okay, I'm going to figure this one out. And I started doing that. I'm hiking again. I'm running up and down stairs. And somebody asked me, oh, did you get another MRI to see if it healed? I said, I don't need that. I'm walking. You don't understand. I couldn't walk. I couldn't go upstairs. And if it didn't have an elevator, I wasn't going up. So, and my knees, I was going to get stem cells put into my knees because of torn meniscuses and bone-on-bone and arthritis again. And so I did the same thing with my knees. And I would never tell anybody not to take their medication, not to have their surgeries. I'm just saying this is what worked for me. And I am a walking, talking example. And clients that I've worked with who have come in with sciatica, weird things. I had a client who was being attacked by these little no-see-em bugs, and they would only attack her, nobody else. Didn't matter where she went. She drove in her car. And we were able to delve deep into what was creating the attraction of these little bugs to attack her. It's anything can cause anything. And
what was it?
She witnessed something.
Yeah.
Yeah, she witnessed something when she was about 4 or 5 years old. And it was very horrific to her. And she wasn't seeing things clearly. She thought she was seeing something. But she saw her dad with another woman who happened to be the best friend of her mother. And so she saw them hugging, but it didn't look right to her. And so this trapped inside of her body, thinking that her dad was cheating on her mom. And so she started creating this for herself. So she would create these episodes that would happen to her. So what happens when we're young and an event occurs and that emotion traps in our body and we don't process it out, it really doesn't matter what age. If we don't process an emotion out of our body, it will stay there and it will live and it will linger. It's like if you think about a dense gray fog, it can trap in your knee, it can trap, you know, like in my hip. My hip, for me, I know I'm jumping around, but, you know, the fear of moving forward. I'm afraid to be seen. I'm afraid to put myself out there to talk. What if the bad guy is still out there? You know, what if he comes back to harm me? So that, for me, was the fear of moving forward. Hers was seeing things clearly because we put on these lenses in our life. We might be looking through clear eyeglasses. Then we put the yellow glasses on. It looks weird. But then we get used to that. Then we put the green glasses on. Looks weird, but then we get used to that. So we become very familiar with pain. And although we don't want to have it, it's a safe place to be. But if we're pulling things from our past and those emotions that occurred in the past, now, if something happens in the future, her boyfriend cheats on her, those emotions come back. So the past is living in the present, and then we have a predictable future on having trust issues with what we're seeing or, you know, people we're inviting into our lives. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I gather when you have emotion issues like this that get logged in your body, many people may not understand this, but it really can cause trauma forever if you don't get it cleared out of your system. And that's what things like the emotion code and the body code do. They help clear those emotional problems. Is that right? When you come right down to it?
That's right. So the emotion code would be, I would ask a question like, does Doug have a trapped emotion creating him to have symptoms of anxiety? And then we go through 60 different emotions. We can find out what age the emotion trapped and what event occurred when that trapped. And then we release it. And then with the body code, we look for associated imbalances. Does Doug have an associated imbalance creating his right shoulder to be painful? And then we go through that, and you could have a trapped emotion. So the trapped emotion can be incorporated in the body code. But we might find out that your left shoulder is painful because we need to look at your kidney. But your kidney is saying, hey, you're not listening to me, so I'm going to give you a pain over here so that you can find a deeper dive. And then the belief code is... if you imagine a tree, so the top of the tree are leaves and branches, and those are your negative programs. So when your subconscious mind and your conscious mind have an agreement, that becomes a belief. So we'll get to that in just a second. So you have your negative programs in the branches and the leaves. The trunk of the tree are your limiting beliefs. So that's where your beliefs get stuck, or it could be religion, and I'm not knocking anything. I believe in God. I have a very strong faith. It doesn't matter if you believe in God to me or not, but that's where the healing starts, from above, and I'm a hollow conduit. But anyway, your limiting beliefs are the trunk of the tree. Then you have the roots, which is a faulty core belief. And it's just another belief that you've decided is so. And then you have the faulty core identity, which is the soil that is feeding that tree. And that was programmed into you before age 7. Then you have trapped emotions and associated imbalance that are fueling that soil, and then it grows this tree. So there are many kinds of trees. Sometimes you grow a couple of different trees. You might have 3 trees of negative belief systems that you've created. You might have a tangled tree. We could talk for hours about that. But basically what we do is we find all of these statements that you have been telling yourself, and it paints a story, and then we pull those out, and now you have a big hole. And so either we have to fill in that hole or fill in that gap. It's like pulling both sides of the Grand Canyon together. Or you might need a positive statement to fill that gap, but we always want to fill that hole when we're releasing all of this. It's quite fascinating. And I've seen so many people heal. People ask me, is this a one and done? Sometimes when you start peeling through the layers, more things come up. It took me about 8 months to heal my hip. So once I would get through one limiting belief or program or trapped emotion or associated imbalance, something else would come up. But they're being dumbed down because in life, a lot of times we just stuff things. Oh, that's okay. It doesn't matter. That doesn't bother me. When, in fact, these things do bother you, but we just stuff them, and we find these little boxes to put them in until the box lid can't hold those things in anymore, and it starts spilling over.
Well, let me ask you another question. I know that you were told you thought we needed hip surgery and knee replacements, but you never did get that surgery, did you? You didn't have to.
No, I did not. Nope.
That's remarkable. I'm busting to ask you another question. I know how effective the body code can be and the emotion, because emotions can really cause all kinds of problems if you don't get them taken care of. But I understand you work with pets, with animals, with puppies and dogs. Is that correct?
I do, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because animals have the same feeling. I know people say they don't, but they do. They get depressed. They get anxiety. They get sad. And so when you work with them, they talk to you. When they feel safe, they talk to you. You know, when I was a little girl, my parents, they would call me Deborah Doolittle because I would be dragging these little things. Oh, look, I found this bird. It fell out of a tree. Oh, look, here's a this, here's a that. And I could just, I could feel their sadness or their grief and or their fear of things. Animals, if you just tune in, horses especially are very healing. If you just go up to a horse and put your hands on it, it will feel your vibration and your energy. And, they talk.
I think, you know, I totally understand that, quite frankly. But I'm just wondering how you help them with things like the emotion code or the body code. How does it work when you're working with an animal who can't really talk back to you and tell you how they're doing?
Well, so I kind of feel how they're feeling. Like I can look at them and I can feel if somebody's having anxiety, if an animal's having anxiety, or if an animal is sad. They just talk. I can't really explain it.
I guess the question is, how do you treat them?
Telepathically.
How do you treat them? What do you do?
Same way I do with a person. I'll say, you know, does Spot have a trapped emotion presenting as anxiety? And it'll say yes or no. And then we can find out, well, what happened? What age were they when it happened? You know, it's a little bit harder with an animal because they can't say, oh, yeah, I was thrown out of a car window, you know,
exactly,
when I was 6 months old, because they didn't. But it just, what happens is I see pictures in my head, like just a flash of a second.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we can find with animals everything. Sometimes I can just find general things. So, but it's very helpful for them. If I'm around an animal that feels very nervous and upset, I'll just start talking to them, you know, with the mind, because animals can feel your heart. Like, for instance, you know, I don't know if you've ever had an animal that loves everybody and then they have this particular person that they just they don't like and they growl at. They can read the hearts of people.
You know, Deborah, this is such a fascinating subject to talk about. And again, I've never talked to anyone before about utilizing things like the emotion code or body code to help an animal. But I think this is really remarkable. There's a lot to this. There are things I need to point out about you. You have a great website. You treat people in person and on telephone primarily, I guess. Doesn't matter where people are. They can get in touch with you. Is that right? And maybe by Zoom or something. Is that right?
All of the above.
All of the above. Okay, good enough. Well, let me give out your website here. This is the best way to get in touch with Deborah. Her website is empowermentofhealing.com. Empowermentofhealing.com. If you go there, you will find out exactly all the kinds of things that Deborah does. Her name again is Deborah Brewer. She's in Phoenix. And I suppose if you live in Phoenix, you could contact her direct and, you know, maybe go see her. But, Deborah, thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. There's a lot to your story, and we've just gotten into part of it, but it's remarkable, and I want to thank you for taking the time to tell us about it, okay? We appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been great having you, and I thank you for very, very much. And I'm sure there are people out there who may have pets that they might want to call you about. You know, we can learn all about that. But, Deb, thank you. Maybe we'll do this again sometime. Take care. Thank you, ma'am.
Sounds great. Thank you. Uh-huh.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
Yes, we certainly do. That'll do it for today. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Bye for now.